Luke chapter number 8, beginning with verse number 26. Now bear in mind, Luke is a doctor. He's a physician. He tends to detail as doctors normally do because they're trained that way. They like to know every detail about somebody's sickness so that they can diagnose them with the right disease to be able to find a cure for their disease. So Luke is that way, and we'll find in this particular story, you'll find it in Matthew. It's amazing that Matthew stops that story, stops this story when they run Jesus out of town, and it stops. That's amazing. He doesn't finish that story, and I think personally that the better part of it is the latter part than the former. And so then you find Mark. Mark tends to detail also, but he leaves out some things and he adds some things. Luke tends to don't think it's important how many pigs they were. Mark said there's 2,000.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why didn't Luke think 2,000? I mean, that sounds good, don't it? I mean, when you think about it, this is a phenomenal number of pigs that that the Lord had caused the devil to go into, to go down to the sea and to die. 2,000 head of pigs. I thought that's pretty significant in the text, but Luke didn't seem to think so. He just says many swine. Yeah. All right, 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were all afraid. So also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils, was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear and went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." Our Father, we bow in your presence today, thanking you, dear Lord, for every blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for this church and for these that are bound with us. Lord, you know the need of the hour. God, I pray that you'd supply that need according to your riches and glory. We ask you, dear God, that if there be one soul here that's never been acquainted with the grace of God, Father, I pray that you'd save their soul this morning. Lord, I pray maybe there may be somebody here that's backslidden. They've grown cold and indifferent. Lord, I pray that today would be the day, Lord, that you'd turn them back to you. We ask you again, Lord, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil and help us to preach your word this morning. Lord, that your word might go out and prick the hearts of sinners and the lives of your people. We ask you now, Lord, to go with us. And what you do for us, we'll be careful to thank you. And we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. I want to speak to us today, if God will help me, for a few minutes on the great things that God hath done. I want to talk to us on that thought for just a few minutes. on great things that God hath done. Now I could have possibly picked out any story in the Bible, and you'd have to profess that God is great in all of those stories. When you think about the healing power of God, and you think about the blind and the deaf men and the crippled men and the dumb that couldn't speak and the blind, and you see those men and you see to them as individuals, then profess that God had done great things today. Amen. And that when the blind received his sight, you know that had to have been a wonderful time. You remember what he said? The blind man had come to the Lord one day, and Jesus asked him, said, "What wilt thou have me to do for you?" And he said, "That I might receive my sight." Yeah. And the most important thing in this man's life was the fact that he was blind and that he wanted to see more than anything in this world. God does great things for us. Yeah. Amen. And God can do great things for us. The Bible said, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" There's not anything too hard that God can't do it. Amen. The Bible tells us oftentimes with man there are things that are impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so we think about the possibilities of God and the greatness that God can do and perform. When men saw the Lord Jesus, when he walked on the water to the apostles when they were out in the ship, wasn't that a great thing? Amen. When you think about it, sometimes he would say, "Peace be still," and the sea would calm. But not this time. He walks out on the waves of the sea. Out in the middle of the storm, he walks out there. Somebody said he could do it as long as the seas are calm. But if the seas get rough, there's no chance that he could walk on water. Oh, yes, he did. Yeah. Amen, because he does great things. Yeah. Amen. And when you think about that, that's amazing. What about the feeding of the 5,000? With just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And the Bible said he fed them till the full. Every one of them was full. And they'd taken up baskets full because there was more than enough. Amen. That's a great God. That's great things that God hath done. Amen. And so we look at this man. I want you to look at this man for just a few minutes this morning. I'm convinced, and I know according to the Bible, that God made all men. Do you believe that? Yeah. I do. The chapter you read this morning in the book of Exodus, just a few verses over from that, when Moses starts to ask the Lord that he can't, he tells the Lord he can't speak, he's slow to speech, and he said, "Have I not made the blind man? Have I not made the deaf man? Have I not made these different ones with infirmities, the dumb that cannot speak?" He says, "Yea, I have made them." And you remember the Bible said that there was a man that was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked the Lord, he said, "Who did sin?" They thought that when people were born with an infirmity, that sin had been handed down. But the Bible said, "Neither has sinned, but this man is for the glory of God." Does God make blind men? Yes. Does God make deaf people? Yes. Does God make those that cannot hear? Yes. Cannot speak? Yes. Cripples? Yes. He makes them? Yes. Does he make them that because he doesn't love them? No. He makes them that it brings glory to God. He does great things. Amen. Somebody, I thought about it. And y'all didn't know what the Lord was working in my heart when Brother Jim got up and testified this morning. Yeah. Brother Jim, I see you as a whole man. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And when Brother Jim got up, I could feel the touch of God when he began to praise the Lord. And sometimes you can't understand, Brother Jim. Did God make him that way? Yes.
this man had no infirmities about him. He was birthed into a family that loved him. When he was born, the fact of this man's life, everybody, because the family said, "We have a baby boy." They all come to see the baby boy. Amen. And they watched him as he grew up in the community, as he played with the children in the town. And I'm sure, I was visiting the other day, Sister Peggy and Brother Wayne, and there was this little boy sitting on the couch when I walked in. I never had seen the little boy before. When I'd go over there and visit, and this little boy sitting on the couch. And I walk up to him and I said, "Well, young man," I said, "I hadn't seen you here before." And I introduced myself and he with me. And it was the sweetest thing. And he got up in just a minute and he said, "Well, I think I'm going to go." And so he walks out the door. I mean, just as sweet as I want to take him home with me. As sweetest thing. And I asked Brother Wayne, I said, "Who is that boy?" He said, "Oh," said, "he's a neighbor's boy." Said, "He comes by and he checks on me every day or every so often." And I said, "Boy, he's a sweetie pie, isn't he?" I'm going to tell you, they've been a many of sweetie pies. Amen. That's grew up and played with our children and your children and come to church and all these good things that have turned down the wrong road. They've turned down the wrong road. Some of them got on drugs. Some of them got on alcohol. Some of them possessed with the devil. Yeah. This man was one of them. This man was one. I don't know how he got the devils in him. But I will say this. God never birthed anybody in this world that had a bunch of devils in them. Amen. There was a door opened up somewhere in this man's life. I don't know. I believe that if you give room to the devil, he'll move right in. He'll wreck and ruin your life if you let him. According to the word of God, he come to steal. If he can get to you and steal your life, he'll steal your life. If he rob you, he'll rob you. If he can kill you, he'll kill you. And so this young man opened a doorway to allow the devil to come in. And when the devil come in, he opened up the door and said, "Come on in." And the whole 2,000 of them are loaded up on that boy. That man was never the same. Never the same. Have you seen him? Yeah, you have. You've seen those that had lives of madness in them. Look at this man's madness here. Amen. The Bible tells us that he dwelt among those tombs and he was there with no clothes on. They couldn't keep clothes on him. And he dwelt among the tombs, and oftentimes the devils, because there were so many of them, they would move him to the mountain. And Mark says that he cut himself all the time. I remember in the Bible one time where the Bible said how this man came to the Lord interceding for his son. And he said oftentimes the devil comes in this boy and he causes him to jump in the fire. And he causes him to foam at the mouth and lay there and jerk on the ground. And the Lord Jesus commanded that one devil to come out of that boy. Amen. But this man was in a state of madness. He didn't have one. He had thousands of them had moved in his life. And I want to tell you, perhaps it was like Jesus said about the man that had religion but no salvation. How the Bible tells us he sweeps and garnishes his house only to open a door for the devils to come in, and many of them will come in. And so we see this madness here, and we see him dwelling among the tombs, and he has no home, has no place to live. Imagine that boy. The Mark says that he's constantly crying out all the time, crying in the cemetery. Can you imagine trying to get some sleep in that town at nighttime, and you're trying to rest, and that boy's out yonder in the cemetery and he's a crying all night long and hollering and wailing. And I've got a little dog and his name's Petey. And old Petey, I've got a little doghouse on the back porch. And it's a good one. Miss D's got a padding in there that thick. It's just a wonderful place to sleep. And he goes in there during the daytime and night. He never says a word in the daytime. I don't see Petey in the daytime. I don't hear Petey in the daytime. But all of a sudden, I don't know what happens at nighttime, I don't know if he's scared. I don't know what's wrong with him. But just about the time I lay my head down to go to sleep, that thing will go to barking. Yeah. Every night, not just one night. One night I got up, 1 o'clock in the morning, hadn't slept a wink. Every time I thought he'd hush, I'd get up, raise my window in my bedroom, and say, "Hush, Petey." Old Petey, he'd quieten down. I'd shut the window, get back in bed, bark again. One night I got up at 1 o'clock. Miss D said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm gonna whip Petey." Yeah. She said, "Don't hurt him." I said, "I am." I said, "I'm through with him. I'm gonna stop him." And so I get me a belt and I'd head down the door, turn off the alarm, head down the basement, open the door. He's in his doghouse and he's barking in his doghouse. How, what craziness is that? And I pull him out of the doghouse and I just whip him and I said, "Petey, I mean for you to hush." Head goes back in the doghouse. I think it's settled. Yeah. I go back to bed and I try at 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And I try to lay down and go to sleep. Yeah. About the time I go to sleep, here he goes again. I'm thinking, "Lord, have mercy. I'm getting rid of that dog." That's the way it was right here. Yeah. Except this was a man that constantly kept him awake at night, all the hours of the night. What about the decoration day?
Yeah. Yeah.
What about the decoration day? Well, here we got decorations scheduled for Labor Day.
Yeah.
And we're going to get all our flyers. The people bought their flyers and hoping. And you know what they'd do? They'd go out there beforehand and they'd put chains around them. And they'd try to put some clothes on them and try to fix them up where for one day out of the year, they can come to the cemetery and put flyers on the graves.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they start coming, and all of a sudden he breaks loose, pulls off his clothes.
Yeah.
Close your eyes, girls and boys. He's loose again.
Yeah.
Let's go back home. I'm telling you, the madness just kept on going.
Yeah.
And it kept on going. I'm going to tell you, he got under their skin, and you could hear the talk of the town. I wish old brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so would catch him and have him committed.
Yeah.
Well, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so love their son.
Yeah.
Just like you love your children.
Yeah.
And there's a hoping for a day. I can see Mr. and Mrs. of Madness at home on their knees of praying. "Lord God, will you please send somebody over here to help my boy?"
Yeah.
One day, Jesus got in a boat and said, "Let's go to the other side."
Yeah. Amen.
And he goes to the other side, and now we find him. Jesus finds him in a mess.
Yeah.
He comes down to the Lord. We saw the picture of his madness, but look at the mess that the Lord Jesus saw him in.
Yeah.
He comes in there, now, and the town don't know what to do, and here's this man, and he comes before, and he comes running. Mark says, he runs to the Lord, falls on his knees, and wants to worship him.
Yeah.
It's what he wants to do. He wants to worship the Lord. But then the legion takes over.
Yeah.
And he begins to change the conversation and says, "If you come to torment us before our time." And this man has lived now for years and years under the bondage of this life of the devil and the possession, and it has just wrecked and ruined everything.
Yeah.
Nobody could do anything, but Jesus come to do great things.
Amen.
In that man's life.
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible said, "Come out of that man." And the devils are in him, and they speaking through him, and they're saying, "Don't kill us."
Yeah.
Said, "Let us go into the swine." Said, "We'll get in them." And that's just like the devil, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's a dummy.
Amen.
And you can tell him I said so.
Yeah.
You can. Gets right in. And so the Lord, he gives them their request, puts them in the pigs. And the pigs get a little jiggly. And they head towards the lake. And they go off a cliff. And they all drown.
Yeah.
What a mess the Lord found this man. But he does great things.
Yeah, he does.
The Bible said the town come out and see, and they see this boy. this young man, fully clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind. They see him sitting here talking to the Lord. Can you imagine what went through the mind of his mom and dad? Could you imagine as they were praying that God would send somebody to help their son? Well, I've got good news for you. The greatest thing that God has ever done was when he sent Jesus Christ into this world and him died on Calvary's cross for our sins, was buried, and on the third day raised him from the dead. And he went back to be seated on the right hand of God to make intercession for all of us.
Amen.
All of them, that we could be saved, freed from our bondage. Amen. Amen. Turned loose from the power of the devil, freed from our sin.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that's good news.
Yeah.
But it's great things that the Lord has done.
Amen.
Great things he has done. The Bible says now, the man says, I want to go with you.
Yeah.
Jesus says, no, go tell your friends the great things that God done. And Jesus and the rest of them get in the boat and they head out.
Yeah.
And for just a couple of verses, everything seems to get silent. Everything gets still. And then in a little bit, you find the Lord coming back over there, and the Bible said on his way there, everybody was waiting on him. Everybody there in the Gadarene area had heard the good, great things that God hath done, and they're all standing waiting on the Lord as he comes to the shore. I'm going to tell you, when God does great things, he does them great. Doesn't he? He not only does them for you, he does them for me.
Yeah.
Amen. And he don't only do them for me, but he'll do them for you.
Amen.
Tell the great things that God hath done for you.
Yeah.
He said, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him.
Amen.
This morning, God still does great things.
Amen.
You're here this morning and the devil got you convinced that God can't do it and that God doesn't care. But God does care. The little things and the big things, God does care. Somebody said, how much does God care? Well, he reached out his arms as wide as he could and then died for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if that's not care and love, I don't know what is. This morning, you're here, though, and you think it's going to get no better than it is right now. But God does great things. Great things. He did to that man. I heard Brother Cook say one time that where did the man get his clothes? And he said that Jesus had some clothes on his way over there to take him to that naked man.
Yeah.
And I thought about it just while he was saying that. And in about that time, Brother Cook said he knew his size. I tell you, that's how much the Lord cares for you,
right,
to where he even knows what size you wear.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Yeah. He cares that much. Great things. While we stand this morning, while we get a song ready.